the name of the Lord. In him we stand, we move and have our very being, and we bless God. We're going to start off in opening prayer as we wait for others to join. We are past the hour by 5 minutes. And we have three chapters to cover tonight. Judges chapter 19 to 21. And it has been challenging trying to condense it into just this study, you know, because we want to wrap up Judges tonight. Amen. We have been on it for a couple weeks, well, and I don't want you all to get too fat with too much Judges. Amen. Yeah, I wanted to have a clear understanding of it enough to defend your faith with it, you know, to defend. We are faith defenders. So we wanted to have just a clear understanding of Judges, what went on in those days, the cycle that we have seen as we study the different characters in Judges, the cycle, you know. But thank God for Jesus, the cycle is now broken. It's no more up scratching our yo-yo thing up and down. We are steady in Jesus. Amen. Yes, so we studied the Judges for just to show us what was happening in those days. Amen. Some of them, we can't emulate them, what they did and stuff. No. For instance, like Samson, you know, is not one of them that we'd want to emulate in any way, but to learn from his mistakes so we don't fall into the same error that he fell into. You know, we would have started off with Ehud, a Benjamite who was a left-handed man. Amen. We started off with him and we saw what happened, his contribution and stuff. As we look earlier on, we went on to see Deborah and Barak. Yes, Deborah and Barak. We look at Gideon. We look at Samson. We look at Jethro. And now we're going to look at chapters. We just refer to it as chapter 19 to 21. It's the last three chapters in the book. We just refer to it as that because I've not seen no names in it, like how you'd have like a Deborah or a Gideon or so. It just refer to the characters as the Levites and the concubine, and it refers to a father-in-law and a father. It would refer to the Benjamite, you know, and Gibeah. Yes, so it doesn't have like a name that you'd have. So just we just use it to show. We're going to look at it to show how God strike against the wickedness that was happening in Israel. Those three books together, it shows how God would strike against the wickedness that was happening in Israel, particularly in the tribe of Benjamin. You know, great wickedness, as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, was happening there in that city. And the Lord would strike against it by just using just a little spark, just using a person to start the fire. It only takes a spark to keep the fire burning. Amen. And we see where it would have ignited, that fire would have been ignited with just a young lady, a young girl would have left her husband coverage and went away to live with her father for 4 months or 2 months, sometime about there. But she went away. And that alone would develop into chapter 19, chapter 20, chapter 21. It would end the book of Judges. That one little fire, that spark, would end the complete book of Judges. It's top right there. Amen. Yes, so it's a lot of material to cover. I can't wait to get into it. And not so much to get into it, but to climax it, to reach that climax where we can have an understanding of what went on, and we can use it to build our faith and to defend our faith. Amen. Yes, we'll have one reader this evening. We'll have one reader in the person of Sister Patmore. You know, we'll break it down into easy bits. So it's not, we'd have expected to read all three chapters, 19, 20, and 21, throughout the course of this week, so you can participate in tonight's study. You know, so we'd have expected you to read it. So we won't read everything. We'll just read bits and pieces, 1 and 2 verses and 3 and 4 verses. Not much, because we would have expected that the bulk of the reading would have already been completed throughout the course of this week and stuff. Amen. Let us pray.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be glorified. There is none like you. We are careful this evening to invoke your holy presence, because we recognize, mighty God, that we can't even walk without you holding our hands. We recognize, mighty God, that we are nothing without you. We recognize, mighty God, that we must have you with us. We cannot understand anything unless you open up our mental capacity to understand and to get the things of the Spirit. We can't do nothing without you, mighty God. We are nothing without you. And so this evening, mighty God, we just lose ourselves in your presence. We pray, mighty God, that you will captivate our minds even now. We pray, mighty God, that our minds will be set on things of God. We pray, mighty God, that everything on this earth that would drag down our soul, it will release us in the name of Jesus, because we are here to get something from you, mighty God. We want a word from you.
Yes, mighty God.
And so, Lord God, we just wait in your presence. We just come, mighty God, amidst the chaos that is happening around us, amidst our circumstances. We just come, Lord, that you can fill us up for the journey ahead. It's not been an easy road, mighty God, but we thank you that you have made a way where there seems to be no way. You have provided for us in ways that we can't even imagine. And so this evening, mighty God, we come empty so you can pull us up, mighty God. And we pray, mighty God, that as we go through this study, we pray for insight. We pray, mighty God, that we will catch the vision of what was happening and use it to strengthen our faith, so that we don't fall into the same similitude of what happened that led to that fall, mighty God, of Benjamin. We pray even now, mighty God, that you will cover us. We pray for those who would be trying to get on the study even now. We pray, mighty God, that the line will be released. Whatever technical difficulties, Lord God, we come against it with the word of God, the power, the Spirit of Almighty God even now. And we pray, mighty God, that your will be done. Reduce me, mighty God, that you will increase. As I tell you, thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Great things he has done. Amen. Amen. Yes. So the first bit of reading that we'll be doing is from Judges chapter. And we'll have Sister Patmore doing that reading for us. Can you all hear me?
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord. I think something went out just now. Yeah, Sister Patmore, are you ready with that bit for us? Judges chapter 19, verses 1 to 3.
1 to 3 or 5?
Yes.
3?
Yeah,
just go 1 to 3. 3. Okay, yeah. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night, sister.
Good night.
Judges 19, verses 1 to 3. And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levi staying in the remote mountains of Ephraim. He took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him and went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah and was there 4 whole months. Then her husband arose and went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back, having his servant and a couple of donkeys with him. So she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the young woman saw him, he was glad to meet him.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Yes, yes, sis. Thank you for that bit. So the writer to the book of Judges, possibly it was Samuel. You know, there is not like written on stone that it was Samuel, but historians and scholars, biblical scholars, would ascribe that bit to Samuel. It shows us how wicked people can be without God. Amen. When we would read through those 3 chapters, it shows us how wicked people can be when they don't have God. In the final chapters of the book of Judges, we will see how God strike again the wickedness that was happening in Israel. In particular, which was happening in Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin. You know, the early figure in this story. You know, as we see it, as we read through it, we would see that he mentioned to a Levite, a man from this tribe of Levi. You know, who lived in a remote area controlled by the tribe of Ephraim. He took a concubine from Bethlehem in a place in Bethlehem called Judah. You know, a Bethlehem, Judah. You see it referred in the Bible as Bethlehem, Judah. So it's in Bethlehem, a little part in Bethlehem called Judah. You know, in most Asian contexts, they would refer to a concubine as a combination of a servant and a lesser wife. The concubine would be a servant and lesser of a wife. So she would not measure up to be a wife. So it's lesser than a wife. It refers to that Levite. You would take the concubine and you would have her. You would provide for her. You would have her there living in his house. And most of these men in those early days, when they have concubine, they also have wives. But they would live in the, they would share common areas and stuff. But the concubine is a little less than the wife. And, you know, so typically concubines were women from families with little wealth, less wealth than where they would take the wife from and stuff. So they had a little lower status than what they would call like the wife, what the wife would have. You know, they would be cared for just the same. They'll be given some rights, but not full rights, as I suppose. All right. So the concubine in the scripture is said to be unfaithful to her husband. She has been unfaithful. You know, it could be the Bible said that she played a whore against him. You know, and she scripture did not specify what happened. However, it uses the Hebrew word zana, you know, which often implies sexual immorality or adultery. You know, so she had some immoralities, you know, sexually and stuff, and she ran away. You know, so either in addition to idolatry, are separated from it. She abandoned the Levite, you know, went to her father in Bethlehem. So that was what sparked the fire. That one girl, it is believed that she was between like maybe 14 years old, young girl, you know, and she ran away to live with her father for 4 whole months. But that the Levite, he was interested in her still, because evidently, he missed her. So he went seeking for her, you know, and he went with provision. He went with his servant. He went with his asses, and he went down to seek for his concubine because she meant something to him. You know, because maybe it was a divine order, or a divine setup that God would have used to strike against Benjamin, the wickedness that was happening there. God would use that one spark to start the whole fire. So that's where it started from. Amen. So when he went down there to for his concubine, he was welcomed by her and the girl's father. You know, as some Jamaican I say, his spirit take him, and he welcome him in his house and stuff. So he was appreciated there. You know, he entertained him for several days, giving him food and drink and encouraging him to stay on, to extend his stay. You know, and you know, the Levite, he was very polite and manageable. And he was manageable. and he would give in to what the father-in-law would be saying and stay on. And he was there, you know, with his servant and with his donkeys, the Levite servant. Mm-hmm. You know, after five days, he would have declined what the father-in-law would have want to encourage him to stay. He would say, no, he have to be going now. Yeah, he have to be going now. He maybe he have some plans back where he's coming from that he need to attend to, and he need to get going. You know, but the timings wasn't right, because then it was already evening on the fifth day. It was already evening. Sun was going down, and they had a long journey to do. Uh-huh. You know, so after they would have left out and stuff, the Levite, the main figure that we're looking at here, he wanted to spend the night. He wanted to spend the night in Jebus, a city that was later named Jerusalem. But the Levite said no. The servant was the one who wanted to spend the night there in Jerusalem, Jebus. Was later named Jerusalem. But the Levite, he said no. He's not going to stay in there and stuff. So as we read, we're going to read now from Judges 19, verses 12 to 15, Sister Patmore. 12 to 15, and we'll follow through and see what we can flesh out from this story that is happening in the book of Judges here. Sister Patmore?
Okay. All right. And this master said unto him, we will not turn aside either into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel, we will pass over to Gibeah. And he said unto his servant, come, and let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night in Gibeah or Ramah. And they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belonged to Benjamin. And 15, and they turned aside thither to go in and to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat him down in a street of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house to lodge in.
Amen. Amen. So we see the Levite, he refused to stay in a city occupied by non-Israelites. He don't want to stay there because he wants to stay among his people. Amen. So instead, the group journeyed a few more hours to Gibeah, controlled by Israelites, a tribe of Benjamin, their own brother, you know. Rather than finding hospitality and safety among their brothers when they went among their brothers, because Benjamin was one of their brothers. That tribe was one of their a tribe in Israel, you know, and he was one of their brothers. And they would feel better to be put up for the night with their brother more than to go to a stranger place and whatever. But when they went there, it wasn't what they were expecting. They find a cool and unwelcome environment. Nobody offered to take them in for the night. They sat there, so they were even prepared to stay on the outside in the city square. They were even prepared to stay out there. And they were amongst their own people. You know, they were amongst their own people. And they refused to put them up and stuff. You know, the wickedness that to all Israel would have gone astray so far that not even their own they would entertain anymore. And that's what sin does. You know, it separates even, it break up even your own family when sin comes in. It break up your workplace, it break up your family, it separates friends. It put like a gulf between you and people who were your friends there. That's what sin does, and that's what we see happening there. They were among their own brothers, and it was like it was an enemy. It was like their own enemy and stuff. Remember what David in the book of Psalms said? He said it was not my enemy who offended me, you know, but it was a man, my equal, a man that we went hand in hand into the house of the Lord with. That was the one that offended me. He said if it was my enemy, I would understand. But it was the one that I had trusted, the one that I esteemed of. They are the ones that when they hurt you, it leaves a scar that sometimes no band-aid or no dressing can cover it, because the wound is so big, because it was a person, your equal, that you trusted. Here, yes. The Levites is in this situation now, where he trusted to stay the night in his brother's place, other than to stay in a different land that wasn't Israel's, you know. And when I read this story, it just, you know, I look into it and I say, oh my God, the very people that he trusted, they are the ones now that he's going to offend him. All right, so he wasn't welcome there. He was prepared to sleep outside.
Yeah.
And what happened next was a Sodom and Gomorrah experience that they had, you know, an elderly man, a man that didn't even belong to in Gibeah. Gibeah is a place Benjamites would control. You know, that elderly man wasn't even a native there, and he was the one who would go there and question them and say, "Where are you coming from, and where are you going?" And those are two very important questions that really tells your identity, you know, where you're coming from and where are you going. You know, because it speaks to you. It gives me an whole understanding of you more than anything else you could explain to me. Tell me where you're coming from. You know, I'm coming from the club down the street. I'm coming from the bar. I'm coming from wherever, whatever. You know, right away you start to sum up in your mind that person's intention.
That person.
You know, where you're going. Oh, I'm going. I'm going to. You don't have no where you're going. You can't explain where you're even going because where you're going don't even make sense. But where this Levite was going, he explained. He tell the old man what, you know, his journey, and that would develop a sense of trust.
Mm-hmm.
A sense of trust for that old man could say, okay. Come and lodge with me tonight. Don't stay out here on the street. Yeah, possibly that old man know what would happen to them if they were seen there. You know, possibly he knew what would happen if night when night come and the overnight demon them would come out and to roam the street. Yes. Oh, they would devour him and his group out there. His concubine, his servant, and his asses. You know, so the old man demanded that they come to his house. Even though they said that they had their provision because they were on a journey, you know, so they would have food for their animals, they would have food for themselves, they would have change of clothes, they would have, you know, whatever the journey would need, they would have it. But the old man said, forget all about what you have. I will give you provisions as well to how welcoming that old man was to them, who wasn't even a part of the tribe of Benjamin, who was their brother. A stranger would take them in, even though they were on the soil of their brothers, you know.
Uh-huh.
So while the old man was feeding them, you know, you hear me refer to him as old man because that's what is written in the word.
Yeah,
there wasn't a name given to them. And you'd hear me referring to the Levite, the concubine, because there weren't a name given to them. You know, so it just shows that God, the story would just point towards God striking against the wickedness of Israel that was happening in Israel and a whole and really zero in and Benjamin. So that's where the core of the story is. It's not so much about the Levites and his concubine and his servant and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just a little spark that God would use to start the fire against Israel and the wickedness. You realize what was happening when we started Judges and we see them in apostasy. They're just going around in circles and in cycles. They would be doing evil. And God would cause them to be captured by another nation. And they would be under siege, under bondage. And they would cry out to God. And God would raise up a judge. Yeah, God would hear them and raise up a judge and would deliver them. And as soon as they are delivered and set free, they would go back into sin again. They would go a-warring after idol worshiping. And they would go and pollute themselves again. And then they would be sold again. God would raise up like a nation to come and oppress them. You know, they would raise up to oppress them and they would cry out to God. So it's like a cycle like that was happening earlier on. So this is the end part of Judges now, where this is going to sum it all up when God is striking against the evil that was happening the land, the Israelites and stuff. Just like what we saw in Exodus, where the plagues came up on the Egyptian, you know, when Pharaoh was there and he would cause all the plagues that we look at last month. It was last 2 months when we were looking at it, studying it.
Yes.
And we see God was striking against the many gods of the Egyptians. He was striking against the many gods to let the people know that those gods are insignificant. They are no match. So the God of all gods, the creator God, they are no match. You know, so this is what is happening now. God is drawing his people, pulling them in. Amen. So while they were eating at the old man's house, the men of the city surround that old man's house. The men of the city.
Yes.
Men, they are described as the son of Belial.
Belial, yes.
Yeah, the sons of Belial, some wicked man. Sons of the devil. You know, they are sons of the devil, sons of wickedness. Belial. Anytime, if anybody point out somebody and say those are the sons or the children of Belial, don't stay far from there, because they are wickedness. You know, they violently demand the old man to let them know the visitors. Knocking at the door, pouncing at the door. We want to see the visitors that came into you. We want to know them. We want to know the visitors. And that word "know" is not "know." They wanted the Levites to be the Levite to be sent out to be raped. They want to rape him.
Rape them and rape. Yes, rape.
Yeah. So when he say he want to know him, he mean that he want to rape the man. You know, that was what the Benjamites, a tribe in Israel. That was what they were doing. They were practicing those type of immoralities and stuff. And God wanted to strike against that. So he would send that one little concubine in that era to start the fire. In order to get them and to destroy them. You know, so they say they're knocking. We want to know the man. We want to know the man that came in to your house and stuff. They want to rape him. It was like the same thing that was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. When Lot was down there and stuff, and the angel would come to lead Lot out of the city because it was full of all sort of wickedness and all of that. And the angel now inside Lot's house, waiting that he would take them out the next day, take them out because he wanted Lot to gather who he wanted to carry on the journey. You know, but the sons-in-law, they're not coming. So it's just his daughter and the wife. The Lord said, if you find five, I will save the city.
Yeah.
You know, I won't destroy it for five. And they couldn't even come up. They couldn't even come up with five. They were one shot because it was Lot one, wife two, two daughters four. They shot by one. And the angel come to remove them out. And it ended up that only three of them went out because the wife looked back.
The difference
with this story with Sodom and Gomorrah was that the angel would have blinded the mob or the people. They would it have blinded the men's eyes so that they would not be able to see what was happening and stuff, and they would escape and stuff. So nobody would be pushed out at ransom. To the mug to let them rape them or whatever. But it wasn't so with this. You know, they demanded to know the visitors, and the Levites said the old man pleaded with them not to do such abomination because they are under his rule. They don't want to be held accountable. So in desperation, he even offered them his virgin daughter.
His own daughter.
And also offer them the Levites' concubines. Say, we have a concubine in here too. And we have a virgin daughter. You know? And he invited the mob, the men, to do whatever please that looked pleasing in their eyes to do to them. And they said, no. They don't want it. They want the man to come out. So they completely ignored the request of, you know, use his virgin daughter and the concubine as a substitute, and they continue to make demands. So finally,
man, they want man.
Yes, finally, finally, the Levite physically forced his concubine outside into the hands of the men, these children of Belial, because I know she wouldn't go out by herself, in her own mind, she would open the door and go out there to them. he forced her out to go out to them, and they raped her.
All night.
All night. All of them raped her all night and released her shortly before the sun rises. You know, she make her way. Maybe they take her or she make her way herself to the door. And there she fell down and she died.
Died.
After they abuse her right throughout the night. That was the wickedness. Yeah, that was the wickedness that was happening in Benjamin. The Benjamite, that was what they were doing. That little city in that little city there. They raped the young girl all night, all of them. To the point that she stopped.
Death. Oh God.
She stopped breathing. She died right there and then. Oh, that's God. That God. Wickedness.
Mm-hmm. That's very wicked.
You know, that's wickedness. And see, we're going to look at verse 27 to 30. Sister Patmore, Judges chapter 19, 27 to 30.
Okay, verse 27. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold.
Oh, gosh.
And he said unto her, up, and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and got him unto his place. And when he was come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces.
Mm-mm.
And sent her into all the coasts of Israel. And it was so that, that's verse 30, sorry. And it was so that all that saw it said, there was no such deed done nor seen from the day of the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your mind.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Sister Patmore. Oh God.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this is repulsive. This is wickedness.
Terrible.
You know, it's terrible. You know, remember that the Israelites, they are God's people, you know.
God's chosen people.
You know, they are the one that get the law. They are the one that God would comb through with a fine tooth comb. And he would have tell them how to even live. When you read the book of Deuteronomy, it tells them every single thing what the Lord would expect from them. He would like spoon feed them. And this is the way they would treat the Lord. Amen. They would have such wickedness going on among themselves. The Levites picked up the carp of his dead concubine and put it on his horse and his donkey. And he returned with the body to his home in Ephraim. There he cut her in 12 pieces.
Pieces, each piece for a tribe.
And sent it back to the tribe of Israel.
Yes.
He cut her up, even the very bone, and sent it back. Then sent it to the tribe of Israel. He's trying to spread. He's trying to tell a story. He's trying to let his voice be heard. He's trying to get the attention. It was a gruesome attack. He's trying to get the attention of his other brothers to show what that brother Benjamin is going on with down there.
Benjamite. Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's trying to get the attention of his other brothers. They're trying to come together to really pacify something. Because it can't just go on so. They must come to a stop. You know, so the message is around now. All right, so the people of Israel commented that since they left Egypt, nothing like that never happened before a thing like that, and they can't allow it. Mark, you know, it was one person. They raped to death. They now cut her up in pieces and distribute her up. One person is not like a whole thousand or a whole 10,000 people that died or whatever. But is the morality of it. It was very immoral that they did. The act that they did was gruesome. And it wasn't, the Lord looking at it wasn't pleased with what was happening. God knows the heart of man, and he knows that the way they were treading things like this was going to come out and manifest itself. Amen?
Yes,
so in chapter 20, the Levite explained what happened to the Israelites. When I use Israelites from now on, it's excluding Benjamin,
Benjamites. Okay. Okay.
Right, so it's every other tribe except Benjamin. Because you know Benjamin is a part of Israel, is a part of the Israelites. Yeah, so when I use Israelites, just know that Benjamin is out of it.
Yeah, not in it. No.
Yeah, he's not in it. Amen. So it would explain what happened. He went and he explained what happened. But the tribe of Benjamin refused to hand over the guilty man when they said that. Look here, man. When they went up and they say, send out the sons of Belial. Send them out so we can get to pass judgment and upon them and kill them. And Benjamin would hide the men. The Benjamite would hide the men.
Yes. Take up for them.
Yeah, they want to send them out. They want to send them out so that they could justice could prevail and that the evil that was now happening. They would put a hint to that evil by destroying the sons of Belial. You know, they protected the sin of their people down there.
Painful.
Yes. And because of this, it sparked a bloody chaotic civil war, which nearly wiped out the entire tribe of Israel. Yeah, it sent Israel in a self-destructive mode, that it would cause a lot of chaotic. It's like a internal war that now they're fighting. They're fighting against their own brother because of the evil that is going on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing worse than when you have an internal war. External war is good because then you can identify. Then you can identify your enemy when you have an external war. But when the war is inside of you, your very own family, it's a civil war. And it's like you're having a war against your own mind. Your mindset to do this, your mindset to, it's like a war. It's like a tug of war. So this is the type of war that was now happening, an internal war. They have to turn against their own brother in order to bring forth justice because the brother want to cover up evil. They want to cover up the very act that was now made public because the Levites, he's not taking it. And he realized that he cannot do it on his own. So he called forth his brothers to help, so the whole tribe. So there was a war against Benjamin. There was a war against the Benjamite now. 400,000 men of Israel would muster to fight against the tribe of Benjamin. 400,000, of them would come together to how much they ate what was going on. So 400,000 able-bodied men of valor, men of war. So they sent them through the tribe of Benjamin and they demanded again for the sons to be delivered, the sons of Belial to delivered, and they won't come. So war is going to happen now. All right? So Benjamin, the Benjamites, they came up with 26,000 men, right? 26,000 men. Remember that the whole of Israel now would have come up with 400,000, and the Benjamite only had 26,000 men ready to war, right? Ready to defend Gibeah. the defend Gibeah that are the homosexual and all of them, you know, people them down there. And according to Judges 20 verse 16, it says among all the soldiers, there were 700 special ops troops.
Listen.
There were 700 special ops. I call them special ops. I mentioned them as special ops troops who were left handed.
Yes.
Each of whom could swing a stone and hit a hare and not miss. Sling a stone. That means they would put it in, maybe in a slingshot or whatever. And a hare. You know that a hare. Yeah, they can see it if you take out one of your ear and hold it up. Yeah, they can see it. And they would hit it with a sling without missing with their left hand.
Tell about the left-handed people.
Yeah, it's a Benjamin, you know. The tribe. You remember when we studied Ehud in Judges chapter 3? I think it's chapter 3 or chapter 4. And that Ehud was a left-handed man from the tribe of Benjamin.
Yes,
he was a left-handed man from the tribe of Benjamin. So so the war started out. 700 left-hand man included in the 26,000 that they mustered up. And they're going to fight against 400,000 men. All right? No way they can win, right? No way they can win. All right. So the men of Israel, they asked God to advise them.
Yes, that is verse 18.
Yeah. Yeah. The men of Israel, they asked God to advise them, to tell them who shall go first. That's what, remember, follow me now. No, the story is going to start right here now.
Yes.
The story is going to start right here now. The men of Israel, they asked God to advise them, and they asked God a specific question. Who will go up first? That's all they were interested in. As if they were hiding behind. As if they were hiding behind the other brothers. They don't want to go up first, so they want the Lord to tell them who must go up first. Because you know the first set that goes up is going to have more injury than the rest. You know, because they would now become a defense barrier for the ones them that are hiding behind. So they are interested is in who will go up first. And the Lord sent Judah. But they didn't get it. And I don't even think they even get it now. The Lord said, Judah will go up first. You know what Judah mean?
Praise.
Judah mean praise. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
The Lord said, send Judah first. Judah mean praise.
Praise. Uh-huh.
The Lord is saying, if you ever want to win your battles, let praise go before you.
Hey.
If you ever want to win your battles, let praise go before you. The Lord says, send Judah first. Praise.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual buckle, you know. Let's send Judah first. It's a praise. Send your praise first. Let your praise. Never lose your praise. So the Lord said, send Judah first. I want you to get this part, you know. The Lord said, send Judah first. Let your praise go before.
Oh, it's like Jehoshaphat.
Yeah, let your praise go before. You know? So on the first day, they didn't get it, you know. They didn't get the message. But I'm going to let you, the people of God, I'm going to let you get the message. They didn't get the message. The Israelites didn't get it. And I don't even think they get it until we after. So on the first day of battle, they went up against their brother.
Yes.
Amen? They went up against him. And they suffer losses with those left-handed men. They lost 22,000 men. 22,000 men were killed by the left-handed men and the 26,000 rebels from Gideon. Gideon. 22,000 men, you know. That was what they lost the first day. Remember that it was Benjamin who did evil in the sight of God, you know. And the Israelites asked God, for who will go first? And God says, send praises first. Send Judah. And they stopped there, you know. The Israelites stopped there. And look what happened now. Watch me. And the second day of the battle, Israel encouraged themselves in themselves, not in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The second day, Israel encouraged themselves in themselves, not in the Lord. And they set their battle again in array, the same place that they set it the first day, and expect to get a different result. They line up their troops the same way they did the first day and expect to get a different result. You know, and they expect, and that day, the left-handed men, the Benjamite, they kill 18,000 of them that day.
Hey,
18,000.
All right, look and see now. 400,000 men of Israel went to fight 26,000 men, 700 of which were left-handed. And those 26,000 men would whip the 400,000 because they failed to follow Sue. They failed to follow God all the way.
Okay.
They killed. So the Benjamite killed 18,000 of them. That's how many of them got killed now? The 22 plus the 18, that's like 40,000. 40,000 people got killed in 2 days. If you want to win, check your backup plan. If you want to win the battle, check the battle plan. You know, if you fail using one method, chances are you will fail again if you use the same method.
Check plan B.
Yeah, you will fail again if you use the same method. So Israel asks God to go. Asks God, who will go up first? And the Lord says, send praises, all right? So praises, Judah went up. And maybe, you know, Judah went up, you know. So, all right, question for you. All right, so Israel went and asked God, who will go up? And he said, send Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And Judah went up and Israel lost.
Yes.
All right. What do you think happened here? Yeah, you have the answer. What do you think happened here? They went to God and God says, send Judah up first. And they sent Judah up first and they lost the war. They lost 40,000 men. What do you think happened here?
Did they misunderstand the instructions? They didn't seek clarity?
That could be one. They didn't follow through.
Yes, there was sin in the camp. Sin was there.
Sin was in the camp. All right. Yeah. But this was Israel that we're talking about who is losing the war, you know.
Yes.
That Benjamin who did the abominable thing.
They won it 2 times.
They won the war and they were the one who did the abominable thing in the sight of God and in the sight of their brothers and stuff. And they're winning. They killed 40,000 already and still going strong. You know? Any other answers from the floor? What do you think is happening here?
There's an answer from the chat from Sister Candisa.
Let me pull it up. They didn't trust God. They didn't trust God fully. Yeah, that could be too. They didn't trust the plan that God had. They left with wavering faith. Their faith were bouncing all around and whatever, you know. But let us look at this. Israel asked God asked a direct question. They asked God a direct question and they got a direct answer.
Who will go
first? And God says, send Judah. The Lord didn't promise them victory, you know. When they asked God that question, he didn't promise them victory. He said, send Judah first, send the praises first. He just gave them the order. God didn't promise them victory. He just gave them the order of how they would carry out whatever the war. He just gave them the order. They now would have to seek him for victory.
But then I look at verse 26 and I'm seeing something here.
Yes.
Verse 26, and they went fully up to the house of God and they wept and they fasted and prayed.
Yes, we're going to that, Sister Scott.
Okay.
We're going down to that. So the Lord didn't promise them victory. He just gave them the order, right? And the Lord said, let Judah go. Let praises go. No, that anyone can praise, you know. Anybody can praise, but not everyone has the patience to worship.
Hold on to praise.
And not everyone has the patience to worship. To lose yourself and find it in the Lord. Praise take you into the courts of the Lord. But is the worship that's going to take you behind the veil? Is the worship that's going to take you in the presence of God? Look at Psalm 100 verse 4. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So your praise is going to take you into the courts. But you still have to go into the holies of holy where God dwells. And your worship is what's going to take you behind that veil. And we realize now that after they lost the second day, that's when they learn now to go behind the veil. That's when they learn to go now into the presence of the Lord with worship. And that's when they start the fasting and the prayer comes in right there now, when they fasted for the whole day. Israel needed to wait on the Lord so that they can renew their strength. They needed to wait on God, you know. So that's when they realize the error and they come to God now in fasting. They fasted for the day and
humility. Humility, you know? Fasting, humility.
Yes, and so the united Israel, they come together and one, you know. The united Israel went up to the house of the Lord after 40,000 men were killed in 2 days. And they sat before the Lord in fasting that day until evening. And they offered burnt offering and peace offering before the Lord. And in those days, the Ark of the Covenant of God was there. Now, that means the presence of God was there. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar.
Was there.
Yes, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before the Ark of God in those days. And the Lord said to the Israelites, he said, go up, for tomorrow I will give them into your hand. Go Amen. Up, because tomorrow you will have the victory. No, that's a difference there. Because at first he said that he gave them the order, send Judah first, send praises first. But now he's telling them that he's giving them the victory. I will deliver them into your hand. The Lord is the one that controls the battle. And the Lord is the one that gives the victory. Amen.
Yes.
So on the third day, the united Israelites, they set men in ambush all around Gibeah. And the rebellion Benjamites, they killed about 30 of them in the highway. That's the least. Because, yes, they killed about 30 of them. Because they were now anticipating a victory again, because they already won two times, you know. Yeah, but they did not realize that when Israel started to run from them and draw them out into the city, that Israel had a plan. And Israel draw them out of their comfort zone, draw them out of their dwelling place, and then have some men behind there to catch the place of fire. When they realize that all their gods that they were worshiping, everything that they ever worked and have is now on fire. It set their mind in a different direction. And now they start to be confused. Amen. And they retreat. They run away. You know? And it was 600 of them that survived out of the 27,000 that went up to war. All the left-handed men, all of them dead. In there, 600 survive. Out of them, no women, no children, no animals, no land, no nothing. Everything burned, and they hide themselves for 4 months behind some in the rocks and stuff. For 4 months, they were completely wiped out.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah, because of the judgment of God was upon them. All the livestock, everything, they lost and stuff. Amen. Isn't God wonderful?
Yes.
Yes, Amen. He is wonderful. He knows how to use a little spark to start the fire and how to achieve what he wants to achieve. And we'll always draw reference. We'll always draw reference to the children of Israel when they were in bondage over there in when they were in bondage in Egypt. And Pharaoh would be there, you know, of all these idols and all these things worshiping down in Egypt there and stuff. And God would strike against the many gods of Egypt by sending the plagues on them and stuff. And he would already told Moses that he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart and stuff so that he can accomplish his purpose. It was the Levite in this story had many opportunity to change his mind or to change his course of action. The first one, his concubine run away from him. Four whole months. And he went after her. When he went down there, the father-in-law would keep him in the house. Day one, he said, don't go nowhere. Day two, he said, don't go nowhere. Day three, don't go nowhere. Day five, don't go nowhere. And after day five, he disobeyed his father-in-law intention. And he would left with his concubine. He could have said, no, he's going to stay there, you know, or prayed about it or whatever, or seek the Lord when he should leave and whatever, you know. But he left with his concubine, and he could have left in the morning where he could have passed through that wicked place before nightfall. But he left in the evening when the sun was already down, and so for sure he would have to pass through that wicked area. He could have stayed in Jerusalem. He could have stayed there instead of going into Gibeah that belongs to his brother. He could have stayed there because he had reached there first. And he said, no, he's going further in there. So everything was staged going down because God would strike against them that day. Amen. All right. So any feedback from the floor? Yes, so this sums it up for the book of Judges. We had a full month or two. About 6 weeks we had in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about 6 weeks we had in it. And I trust that we all learned something that we can take away from it. You know, first we look at Ehud. We look at Deborah and Barak.
Gideon.
We look at Gideon. We look at Samson. We look at Jethro. And now we look at the Levite and stuff. And it's been a journey. It's been indeed a journey. I enjoyed preparing it. At times, it's a bit... Sometimes I don't know if I'm going or I'm coming in preparing it and stuff, because it takes a lot to prepare an Old Testament lesson, you know. But God has been gracious. I want to publicly thank Sister Camille for our help. She did Samson for us. It was such a blessed study. And so, Sister Camille, to God be the glory. We thank you, woman of God, for your willingness to avail yourself. We bless God for your family as well, that would give you up for a time like this, you know, to present to us. I know that they have been cooperative, because if they weren't cooperative, you know, get that liberty to come and present from your very home. You know, so we bless God. We pray God covering over you and your family and stuff. And from here, from the book of Judges, as the Lord would lead, throughout the course of next week, I will put in the chat where we're going to go from there. We're going to save Ruth, because after Judges come Ruth. We're going to save Ruth for later down in the month, or as the Lord would lead, because I can do nothing of myself. You know, I have to depend on the Lord for his leading and stuff. So we have come to the end of Judges now.
Would know me.
Yes, we have come to the end of Judges. Ruth is going to be a very interesting study with Ruth and Naomi and, you know, Arpa and Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. It's going to be very interesting. Very interesting. So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. So as our sister Eva Scott would prepare to close off for us in prayer, I just want to welcome you all. I thank God for you. I bless God for all of you. And if there is any first time person here tonight, I want to publicly welcome you. I see, is that our brother Peter?
Yes.
Peter. That's my father, Peter Deacon.
Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Yes, brother. We bless God for you. Brother Peart, yes, we bless God for you, and we hope you will get the time off to come again. We have a good thing going on here, and we strengthen ourselves. We build faith in those that are afar off and encourage them to come to the Lord, the best choice they could ever make and stuff. We bless God. Before we go, anybody want to add anything? We're all set. Amen. Sister Eva Scott.
Oh. Just pray.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, everyone. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay, blessings to each and everyone tonight.
Bless the Lord.
As I pray tonight, I'm asking everyone to believe and receive with me in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So let us pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs he bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Most righteous and eternal Father, I come before you tonight, Lord, and I humble myself before your throne of grace. I recognize that you are Lord, the King of all kings. I just want to thank you, mighty God, for the opportunity that you have given us to talk with you about our every needs, Lord. We Hallelujah. Thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies towards us.
Yes, I thank Lord.
You for your unwavering love and your presence in our lives every day. Mm. Mighty God, even when we don't deserve it, Lord, you still love us and cares
Hallelujah.
For us.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mighty God, we thank you for your words tonight, Lord. Weeks after weeks, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than Jesus. Any two-edged sword. Right. Thank you, mighty God, piercing even the dividing soul of our spirit.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, God, for clarity and wisdom and understanding of your words.
Mm.
I pray, mighty God, it may fall on good soil and bear good fruit.
Jesus.
Father, I thank you for the man of God who has made himself available to be used by you.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. I pray Hallelujah. For strength, guidance, and protection over him even now, mighty God.
Yes.
I Amen. Thank you for the spirit of obedience. I pray that you will anoint him with fresh oil from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Open up doors like never before and show him the way to shepherd over your flock, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I pray you will give him visions and dreams and how to lead over your people. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I pray, mighty God, for endurance for each and every one of us here tonight. And I pray that those who do not yet give their lives to you, mighty God, may come Jesus. To know this man they call Jesus. Hallelujah.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen.
He paid it all for us on Calvary's cross. Thank you, Jesus. He saved us from our sins. He was buried and raised on the third day. And because he lives, we can, oh, you and God. I can face tomorrow because he lives.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, mighty God, for removing fear and doubts and release our troubled mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I pray that if there's any sick among us right now, mighty God, having any pain or in any situation or circumstances that are wearing them down, mighty God, by faith, mighty God, right now, mighty God, I call on you, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord
Hallelujah.
Heals, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide
Hallelujah.
To touch.
Yes,
heal
Lord.
Heal and deliver by the power of the Almighty.
Jesus.
We thank you, mighty God, that even now you are making ways out of nowhere. We thank you, Lord, for supplying all our needs according to your riches in glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
So as we go forth, mighty God, help us to carry the words wherever we go. To witness to others and to tell of your goodness.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray that you will have, I pray that every one of you tonight will have a productive week ahead of us.
Oh, God.
And
oh,
may the
God.
Grace of thank the Almighty Jesus. God be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Scott. And thank you, Sister Jackie, for reading for us tonight. We bless God for you all as you avail yourself. Hallelujah. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Keep you in the beautiful spirit of redemption, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Bless someone as you go. And looking forward to see you all.
Good night,
next
everybody.
Week.
Good night.
Amen.
Amen.
Good night.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Bless the Lord.
Have you all.